Please join me in the prayer of confession. From the fathomless deep, I have called to you, God. Listen to the innermost depths of my voice. Open your ears to the sound of my cry. If you kept a record of guilt, my source of strength, who could remain standing? For with you is forgiveness. From it we learn how to hold you in wonder. I look for you. My soul looks for you wildly. I wait for your word of response. My soul longs for you, more than the watchman at the gate longs for morning, more than the tired watchman at the gate longs for the first flicker of the dawn. In the silence, we lift up our longings, our regrets, our shame, and our hope to the God who hears our cries. Let God's people put their hope in God, for with you is a storehouse of kindness, and with the Holy One, redemption abounds. You will redeem your people from all their guilt and confusion and sin. Thanks be to God. Beloved, no matter what happens out in the world, wars and rumors of war, there is within us the very peace of Christ, a peace that this world did not give and this world cannot take away, a peace that abides within each and every one of us. May the peace of Christ be with you. Please share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Welcome to Festival Worship at Old South Church in Boston. Welcome to people of all ages, races, languages, and documentation statuses. Welcome to people of all abilities and disabilities. Welcome to people of all sexualities and gender expressions. Welcome to all who believe and all who doubt, and all who don't know what to do anymore. To all who long for peace in their heart and in the world, and all who worry that it may never come, welcome to you. We want to know who is here, and so there are black friendship pads in the aisle row. If you could take them, write your name in it, and pass it to your neighbor. It's a sneaky way to look for someone's name. Oh, Bill's got it in the air. Look at this. 5 points to Bill. It's a sneaky way to learn your neighbor's name if you think you're supposed to know it, like you've sat next to them for 10 years, but you don't know their name. Pass them the friendship pad. They'll write their name in it, and now you've avoided an awkward moment where you had to ask them their name. If you are new here, though, and you write an email address or a phone number, I will write you back to learn more about the journey that led you through our doors this morning. A few announcements. Next Sunday at 12:30 p.m., we will host our annual meeting where we will vote on incoming leaders, the year's budget, and build deeper community with one another. There will be lunch provided and childcare during the meeting. Please RSVP today. You may have noticed there in the chapel are prayers hung between the columns and around some of the columns. This is our Lenten communal art project. We invite you to add your prayers by writing them on a piece of paper and weaving them into the columns. And while you do, pray for the other ones that you encounter there. Lastly, in your bulletin today is a questionnaire from our Grace Speaks Committee, which is the group of people who guide us toward racial justice here at Old South. Please take a moment at some point during the service to fill that survey out and then drop it in the basket on your way out. For now, though, take a deep breath in and let it out. And take another. We gather now to worship the living God.
Oh. Good morning. This morning's first scripture reading is the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had to remember specific rules for different places, but each set of rules were completely different one from the other? For example, maybe you and your family eat most of your meals at home on the coffee table while sitting on the floor. Maybe you're allowed to take a healthy snack from the kitchen when you need one, as long as you still finish your plate at dinner. But you are not allowed to have desserts for snacks without permission first. But then at your grandmother's house, you are not allowed to go into the cabinets at all searching for food. You are expected to use proper table etiquette. And every time you put your elbows on the table, you are reminded, get your elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable. And then, at your other grandma's house, there are candy jars everywhere, sugary breakfast cereals on the table, and it's a free-for-all as long as you're having a good time and happy. Basically, no rules at all. It's hard to figure out who is in charge sometimes and which rules to follow. Often we get a little turned around trying to figure out what to do. This happens to all of us, and for so many of us, we unconsciously decide whose authority is the most important. Parents are naturally, for most of us, the most important deciders in our life, in part because we trust our parents so completely to love us and to know what is best. Teachers and other leaders or family members then fall somewhere beneath our parents in authority, depending on what the subject of the conversation is. I mean, you would trust your coach's advice on how to do a back handspring over your school librarian's advice, right? But what happens when two authorities have conflicting instructions? How do we decide what to do? Or what happens if someone in charge asks you to do something that you feel is unsafe or unkind or wrong? In the book of Acts, the disciples are having a run-in with the authorities in the temple in Jerusalem. Again, the leaders and temple guards do not approve of the disciples' messages or actions, and they tell them to cut it out. But Peter and the disciples answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." They knew in their hearts exactly what God wanted from them, and they were not going to be stopped by anyone. It's possible that one day you will be faced with a decision to make. Should you follow a rule or law that is unjust or unfair? Should you comply with a rule that is harmful? It's not easy to go up against authority, and you should always seek the advice of people that you trust when deciding what to do. People like your parents, a teacher, a friend, or a pastor. And like the disciples, when you know something in your heart to be true, when you know that something is wrong, well then trust that God will give you the strength to take a stand, just like Peter and the disciples. Will you pray with me, friends? Dear loving God, we wish that everyone in this world had good intentions and that all leaders could be trusted to be morally right. Please help us to rely on your laws, to remember and rely on your messages, to shape our code of morals. Give us the courage and strength to follow your rules, especially when they are not the world's rules. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who always loved people more than he loved rules. And we all say, Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 50. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of this. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their friends and relatives. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. These are the words of Scripture. May we be blessed with understanding. Amen. You might notice that I am not Rachel. I have not transformed. This is not like Freaky Friday. Rachel is sick, and so you are stuck with me for today. Would you all pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're in our second week of our Lenten series, which is called In the Guise of a Stranger, where we reflect on stories from Scripture when God or angels or Christ appeared and was not recognized as such. We hope that by praying on these stories, we can train our hearts to seek God in all of the manifold ways that they present themselves to us over and over and over again in the faces of strangers. Just over a year ago, a baby was born in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. His mother, down on her luck and overwhelmed, left the hospital, left the baby in the care of capable nurses, and left without any way to contact her. The hospital's social worker called the Department of Children and Families, who called our friends, who had just signed up to become foster parents. They then called us, who had been foster parents for several years already. "What do you think?" they asked. We told them the sorts of questions to ask the nurses and social workers, like, "Is he on any medications? How is he feeding? What do you know about his family?" And then we asked, so that we could pray for them, "What's his name?" The baby did not have a name. Not yet. His mother had left without naming him, and it wasn't clear at the time who could name him. Our friends visited him every day for the week that he was in the NICU, snuggling him up against their chests and learning how to care for him. And they found, taped to his bassinet, a grid with a list of names and dozens of check marks. His nurses, knowing that a child needs a name, had set up a sort of poll. People could add names, Jack and Maxwell and Gavin and Nicholas and Franklin and 14 others. And then everyone could put a mark for like, neutral, or dislike on a particular name. When the poll closed, some nurse tallied it up, and Franklin was the winner. In addition to that poll taped to his bassinet, our friends found a board book featuring Franklin the turtle, on the inside of cover which was written this: "Before you had your forever name, you were the hospital's baby Franklin, a name given to you by hospital doctors, nurses, secretaries, housekeepers, and more. We hope you know that no matter what your forever name is or where your forever home is, you have always been loved by many." Eventually, the DCF social workers were able to get a hold of the baby's grandparents, who could not take in a newborn, but who did give him a name, which is the name on his birth certificate and the name we call him now. But he will always have a first name, a reminder that his story is not a story of abandonment, but a story of people remembering that every child matters. Every child belongs. Every child is ours to care for, ours to protect, ours to surround with love. The poet and prophet James Baldwin teaches us, the children are always ours, every single one of them, all over the globe. The story from today's gospel reading is one of the only glimpses we get into seeing Jesus as a child, or more precisely, as a tween, someone who could not quite pay attention long enough to not get lost on a family trip, who sort of mouthed off to his mom. You see, we're so accustomed to seeing Jesus as an adult, as God manifest in flesh, capable of healing and teaching enormous crowds. But it means something to our faith that Jesus did not appear out of the sky as a grown man or emerge from the sea as some sort of magical God-man. No. Our ancestors in this text wanted to pass something down to us, something critical. Jesus was a baby, and then a child, and then a teenager. The one who we remember as the one whom the winds and the waves obey, he was a child once. And if this is true, and I believe that it's true, then God has made clear that the holy is not uniquely present in adults or in people capable of reason or physical strength. God has been a child, and thus all children, all of them everywhere, hold within them the spark of the divine one. Every child, all of them everywhere, holds within them the very image of God. Every child, all of them everywhere, have something to teach us about who God is. When we baptize babies, this is part of what we affirm, that God's blessing upon you is not earned by your own wisdom or even your own belief. God's blessing upon you is simply a fact of your existence. Because you are God's child. Because you are beloved of God and beloved of God's people. This is true for baby May, who we baptized today at First Worship, and it's true for all children everywhere. If Jesus was a child, then the welcome that we extend to children is the welcome that we extend to Christ. Welcoming children as they are, with their snacks and noise, wild spirits and honest cries, will open a window for all of us to know more of who God is. If we only welcome some children, maybe the quiet ones or the neurotypical ones, then we only welcome some of Christ. We only get to know some of who God is. And maybe we miss. Maybe we miss something about Christ, how his love and his energy cannot be contained. How we care for children is how we care for Christ. The children in our church, the children across our city, trans kids who simply seek to be seen as the beauty that they are, the children in southern Iran, those who escaped the American bombs and the ones that didn't. All the children, everywhere, the ones that Jesus loves. All the children everywhere, the ones that Christ is present within. There's a Jewish tradition at Passover to leave the door unlocked and to set a place at the table for Elijah, the ancestral prophet whose return is the hope of the people. About 6 years ago, there was a knock on our door at dinner time, and in he came, a little boy, just 2 years old, his hair covering his enormous brown eyes, holding the hand of a social worker turning the corner toward our dinner table. "This is Elijah," the social worker said. We had set a place for him, frozen cheese pizza and baby carrots and milk. We didn't have kid plates yet, so it was just on some Tupperware. We didn't know if he needed his milk in a sippy cup or an open cup or a bottle. We did not know anything. We in fact had to Google, will giving a 2-year-old a pillow be what he needs or will it kill him? Answer is, it doesn't, no one knows. But in he came. Here is Elijah. In he came and taught my wife and I more about God than a combined 11 years of formal schooling in theology. All of the children, everywhere, they are all ours. They hold within them the spark of the divine, lessons about who God is and how God loves. Jesus was a kid, a baby, a toddler, a child, a tween, a teenager. Let us keep the doors of our hearts open, the doors of our lives unlocked, a place at our communion table and our coffee hour for the little ones among us, that Christ might come to live among us and teach us, just as he did in the temple millennia ago, as a child. Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts.
Christ is
our peace, our light, and our hope. Let us pray. Please be seated. God, our God, here we sit amidst all sorts of circumstances, war and rumor of war, health disparities, racism, sexism, and homophobia. But you, O God, are our strength, our light, and our hope. God, as you have promised that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and that you would comfort us continuously, we ask for comfort this morning. And we ask that you help comfort those, our siblings in Iran, as well as our siblings abroad, as well as us here in these yet to be United States. God, simply put it, we need you. We need you every morning and every hour. We need you every minute and every second. And if you would just hold us up with your right hand, we would forever give you all praise and glory. And as we wait and as we receive, we pray the words that your Son, Jesus the Christ, taught us: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm grateful for good neighbors. For people with whom we sort out who will shovel the snow and where to put it all. And I'm grateful for neighbor churches, churches with whom we are in covenant and with whom we minister to this great city. Iglesia Hispana de la Comunidad is a fellow UCC congregation in Jamaica Plain, and they are expanding their outreach to seniors in their community, building intergenerational connection and trying to prevent isolation. They've developed a 9-month presence-based pilot ministry program that will form a dedicated visitation team to travel to local nursing homes and to help connect youth with the stories and traditions of their elders. Old South is proud to support this pilot program in full, donating $2,700 to support this vital ministry in our wider church partners. I am so grateful for Pastor Cesar, for that church, for their witness and care of our elders. When the load feels heavy on our shoulders and hope seems like a far-off dream, let us remember the words of Paul to the church in Galatia. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
All black, but then nothing's all white.
Let us pray. God, we trust that you would take all that we have and all that we are, that your reign of justice and joy might come, if not for us, then for our children. We pray this in the power of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
beloved ones, life is short. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who make this way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And as you do so with the blessing of God who created you in love, with Jesus who sets you free, and the Holy Spirit, your guide and companion your whole life long. Amen.